Thank you, Peter. And I'm not making a telephone call here. I've got my notes on this thing. May go horribly wrong when the screen locks or something ghastly. So, the story of the Magi. How many were there?
It doesn't say exactly, but we guessed three.
Ooh, you've been doing your homework. We guessed three because there were three gifts, absolutely. We're not told that there were three. Now, it's a very familiar story, this, isn't it? And my sense always that it's sort of tacked on the end of the Nativity story. But it's a very important story. We mustn't underestimate the significance of it. As Ian mentioned earlier on, this is the story of the revelation of Jesus' divinity to the non-Jewish people. That's to us. If it wasn't for this bit of the Christmas story, we might not be part of God's plan, but God included this bit in the story, so we know that we are. Now, the Magi are not named in the Gospel, are they? We know that they have names. We have names for them. Do we know what their names are? Now, I'm going to ignore you. It's a smarty pants. Your teacher's pet, aren't you? Do we have... Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar, absolutely. But these names are not given to them in the Bible stories. These names actually come from later. There's a suggestion that they might have been named about 50 years later, but other sources suggest that, in fact, these names weren't ascribed to them until about 500 years later. And we don't know that they were kings. They're referred to as kings sometimes, but magi is the plural of the word magus, meaning a wise person. They're variously known as astronomers, magicians, kings, but we just don't know. But what we do know is that they were wise men. But the lovely thing about not having their names is that we then don't get caught up in exactly who they were. We can concentrate more on them as individuals, on what they did, and on the gifts that they brought. And what they did was quite significant. And in fact, our wise men, as you notice, aren't in the stable. They're actually, they're just on the windowsill over here. They've been getting closer. They normally start the Christmas period somewhere at the back of church, and they gradually sort of move forward. They got to here, so we're somewhere probably between Jerusalem and Bethlehem at this point. So I tell you what, shall we bring them down into the stable and position them? Here they come, absolutely, on their camel. And let's position them down there so they're actually in our tableau now. Now, they came from the east, we're told, probably from Persia or Arabia, a journey of about 1,000 to 1,200 miles. Now, that journey on a camel, as well as being fiendishly uncomfortable, would have taken them somewhere between 3 months and a year, according to various reports. But a long time. And for those of you who have ever ridden a camel, to ride a camel for about 10 minutes is enough to induce seasickness. So how the kings must have felt by the time they got there, how the magi must have felt, I'm not entirely sure. But it's interesting, isn't it? If we got the reading up on screen, John, we're looking at verse 9, I think it is. Have we got it there? And again, and again, and again. That's verse 9. I'm actually looking for the next one, I think. Next slide on. Here we are. Okay. And this gives us a clue as to how long it took them. Because you notice there in verse 11, they came to the house. Not a stable anymore. It's a house. And the other clue, as Ian is doing his best stage whisper to me here at the front, they came to the place where the child was. No, Jesus is no longer a baby. He's now referred to as a child. So all of this has taken a little while. So while we traditionally celebrate it today, the 6th of January, realistically, the event would probably have taken place a little bit later on, possibly quite a lot later on. And the gifts that they gave, are quite significant, not just the gifts that they were, but the fact that the gifts they gave were gifts that they would have been able to get at home. There's no internet shopping. There's no chance of them going into Colchester to do a bit of browsing ahead of going to Bethlehem. They have got gifts which they would have been able to obtain from home, from where they came, locally sourced goods. No air miles on these goods at all. And this is significant. You know, everything in the Bible is significant. But just hold on to that thought, that the wise men gave gifts that they would have been able to obtain locally at home. Now then, can we have the little people, the children? Can we have children down to the front? We've got two down here as well. The rest of you come and join us, because we're going to have a bit of competition now. And so along with the children, you take a seat down here, girls. And I'm going to give the children a joker to play as well. And I'm going to take Ian from the adults team and attach him to the children's team. So children, if at any stage during this little session you think you need a little bit of helping hand, you can play your joker in the form of Ian. Okay?
That's what my wife calls me.
So let's start off then with the children. Three quick questions for you. What were the gifts that the wise men brought? Okay, let's have one of them.
Frankincense.
Myrrh.
Gold.
And gold. Excellent. Well done. 3-0 to the children. Adults, your turn now. What do those three gifts signify? Let's have one at a time.
Gold is for his kingship.
Gold for his kingship. Eileen? Myrrh for his godliness.
Frankincense for when he died.
Frankincense for when he died. I think we got those the other way around, didn't we? It's frankincense for prayers, for godliness, and myrrh, absolutely, for embalming the body, the bitter myrrh. Okay, well, 3 to the children. 2 and a... not quite sure. Not quite sure. Okay. Let's think about some other gifts, and I've got some here. Nice big box. Who would like this one? This is the biggest present. Does anybody want this present? Can I have it? You'd like the biggest one, would you, Lottie? Okay. So Lottie wants the biggest one. Other end of, look, all the ladies' hands are going up for the smallest one, aren't they? What about this one?
Oh, children.
Children? Shame on you. We got Derek and, yeah? Steve would like this one as well? Okay. So we got a present for the boys there as well. Now, in the run-up to Christmas, who said, oh, what on earth am I going to get so-and-so? They're so difficult to buy for. Oh, yeah, a lot of hands going up, aren't they? So-and-so, so difficult to buy for. What on earth can I get? And what do you buy the person who has everything? Good question. More stuff. But that's it. Do we need more stuff? Do we actually need more stuff? I used to agonize as a child over what I was going to buy my mother and my father because I just couldn't think of what they needed. They had lots of stuff already, and did they need more stuff? My mother happily let slip that as long as she had nice handkerchiefs and nice soap, she was happy. So that's easy. I can buy her handkerchiefs and soap. And my father, well, anything that shape always goes down well. So he normally gets something that sort of shape. Thinking about some other gifts now, and this is where we possibly have some chocolates, it being a good family service. So, we're thinking now about the 12 days of Christmas. So, in very quick time, from the children's team, what were the gifts that were given on the 12 days of Christmas? Let's have one each. So on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree,
two turtle doves,
four calling birds. We're getting a bit of help from the adult team here. Oh no, that was Lydia. Lydia knows. Five gold rings. Well done, Lydia. On the sixth day, we had we've got six geese are laying. Seven.
Swimming.
Yeah. Eight.
Maids are milking.
Nine.
Ladies dancing.
Ten. 11. And 12.
Drummers
drumming. 12 drummers drumming. Whee! Well done. Right. I think you guys have a chocolate each.
Take one.
Well, Lottie. Otherwise, we'll take yours back. And they still haven't played their Joker.
No.
So we can't let the Joker have a chocolate yet. Now, bonus point for the children then. In the context of the song, who is my true love? Now, you may need to play your joker at this point. Are you going to play the joker?
Just think.
I'm going to have to hurry you. You're going to have to play your joker.
Oh,
joker. In the context of the song, who is my true love?
It sounds like a squirrel, but it's probably Jesus, is it?
God, yeah.
Thank you. Lovely.
Well done. Okay. There we are. 13 points so far for the children. In fact, no, 16 for the children so far. Adults, bit of pressure. Okay, we're still on with the 12 days of Christmas, and you all know the answers to this. You all know the answers here. What do the different things signify? So, first of all, the partridge in the pear tree signifies... Whee! The two turtle doves represent Old and New Testament. We've got two correct answers there. Three French hens.
Three wise men.
It's either the Trinity or the three wise men. Four calling birds. The Gospels. Was there a voice from behind the Christmas tree? No? Five gold rings.
Five books of the Pentateuch.
The Torah, the Pentateuch, that's right. Six geese are laying. Six geese are laying. You don't have one. You, if Paul was here, he'd be your joker. Six geese are laying. Ooh.
Is it the 6 days that God worked before creating the world?
6 days of creation. You've had a chocolate already, so you can't have another one. The seven swans are swimming. Sorry? No. No. Seven.
Ooh.
No. Sorry? No, Andrew, you went through this a couple of years ago, and you told us all about it. Oh, hang a second. Seven fruits of the Spirit. We're stretching it. I'm going to put you out of your misery. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. eight maids are milking are... Sorry? Gospel's legs. No. Gospel's legs. No, no advance on that. We've got the eight Beatitudes. Nine ladies dancing. Fruits of the Spirit. Who got that? Someone. The ten lords are leaping. The commandments, absolutely. 11 pipers piping. 11 disciples. And the 12 drummers drumming. No, 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 no. Nearly. That's, yeah, so we've done 11, haven't we? 11 pipers piping with the 11 faithful apostles. 12 drummers drumming.
12
apostles,
no.
12 days of Christmas?
No. Good guess, good guess. Any advance? Sorry? No. We might have to play the children's joker here. No, it's the 12 points of faith of the Apostles' Creed. Well, and I've got a bonus point for the adults, just in case at this point they were inseparable. So we'll ask it anyway. We'll ask it anyway. So for the adults, quiet in the children's seats here. What was the name of the wise man who couldn't make it? Yeah. What was the name of the fourth wise man?
Frank.
That's right. Frank was the name of the fourth man because when they gave their gifts, they gave gold, myrrh, and Frank sent this. Okay. Now, Jesus, at this point, when the wise men arrived, Jesus had done nothing, had he? He was fairly newly born. He hadn't taught anything. He hadn't healed anyone. He hadn't performed any miracles. He hadn't raised anybody from the dead. And yet still, wise men traveled a long way to worship him. Shepherds came and gave sheep, and the wise men gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We haven't done anything, and yet God gives us an amazing gift. Anybody like to see what the amazing gift is that God gives us? I've got it here. Beautifully wrapped. I put it the right way up. The amazing gift that God gives us. Childproof wrapping. That is the amazing gift that God gives us when we have done nothing. And if God gives us that when we have done nothing, it begs the question, what are we going to give God? And we may not have any sheep, we may not have much gold, we may not have frankincense and myrrh. And at the end of the day, what do we give the God who has everything, the God who created everything? What does God really, really want? Well, again, who'd like to see it? Because I've got it in this box. That is what God wants from us. He wants our hearts. He wants our love. In Matthew's Gospel, later on in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, somebody asked Jesus, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two." As I say, we may not have a lamb, we may not have gold, we may not have incense, we may not have myrrh. But this year, 2013, will you give your heart? Because that's what God really wants. Amen.